Hello and welcome to Bad Boy Cinema. I am your host, Rick Reel, and with me is, as always, my wonderful co-host.
We're back,
baby. Elliot Phil.
We're so back. We're in the positives. Take out the green marker.
Yeah, I hope you guys have a spreadsheet on the adjectives I'm using to describe Elliot.
And at the end of the year, if you decipher the code, there'll be a special bonus episode.
Just for you.
Just for anyone who solves the code.
It spells out, there's going to be a URL spelled out within the code.
Yeah, it's going to be a URL. It takes you to a JPEG of a QR code. You scan that. And I'm not gonna say any spoilers, but listen to the music.
Brother. Let me tell you about that. Sweet, sweet music. How have you been?
That's a good question.
Do you encourage me to stay curious?
You can stay curious, but I'll give you a little taste.
Got to whet my
good
curiosity appetite. Oh, good. That's
I'm glad we had this. Considered it.
That's good. Yeah, you've mulled it over.
I'm feeling solidified in some of my life choices recently. And
like what?
Not all of them. For sure not all of them. But spent some time.
Is one of them doing this podcast?
I urge you to stay curious. I spent some time in the presence of children recently. Oh boy.
Well, they shouldn't have let you do that.
I was fine. It was the children who were wrong. They're rambunctious.
What did you do to the children?
I was just chilling. I was trying to have a conversation. And, you know, one of them was two. So not a great conversationalist. Freshly two.
No.
It was his birthday like 3 days ago. And I was trying to talk to him about Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what that guy was saying. The dog speaks more clearly than this freaking kid. Tried to talk to him about Paw Patrol. Again, the dog speaks more clearly than this freaking kid. But I did understand that he likes Paw Patrol.
I think we all like Paw Patrol.
Not me. It's copaganda. I mean, we got to call it out for what it is. It's the year 2024. I got media literacy. Paw Patrol is police propaganda, and I won't stand
Paw
for
Patrol,
it.
You're on notice.
Paw Patrol, come on the podcast. We'll talk about Catch Me If You Can, I guess, is also police propaganda in some respects. I was going to pick a police propaganda movie, but this week, Catch Me If You Can, it's all about how the police did a good job.
Catch Me If You Can, released in 2002, directed by Stephen S. Isn't that right, Elliot?
That's right.
Starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks with a bunch of other people who are, I would say, largely irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, Christopher Walken's there. I don't know. It's weird seeing, I wouldn't say calling him young, but I'm like, oh, he's not decrepit. It's weird.
Yeah. You can see his eyes.
you can see his eyes. Young Leo, very young. I mean, I guess he was probably what?
Not as young as he's portraying himself to be.
But he looks the part. Yeah, I mean, he is almost 30.
Yeah, he's like 27. He's supposed to be 16. And he's got
it's believable. He drinks milk. He reads comic books. I mean, what else does a 16-year-old do in the 60s? Yeah. I don't know.
He wears a sweater vest. Yo, this film opened on Jesus's birthday.
How sick is that?
2002.
How much money? What was the budget? And okay, so the budget of 52, and it got a 352 return, which is pretty good. And critically, let's just get this out of the way. Let's see here. Rotten Tomatoes has a rating of 96%.
Mm-hmm, I believe that.
It's which again, Rotten Tomatoes, they just you get a number, a good number, right? If it's a positive review, it doesn't necessarily say how positive that review is, because I think to both of us, as we've discussed privately, spoilers, this is a good 3.5-star film. You know, it's a solid, a solid flick,
which earns a positive on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think 92% of people will be like, yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah, and the average rating of this film is a 7.9 out of 10, which is slightly higher than what we would have put. But, like, sure. Like, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah, that's fine. I did want to talk about the cover real quick.
Yeah, the little blurry running people.
Yeah, this looks like a gay rom-com. Am I wrong? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just...
I didn't get that at all, so...
Just look at it now.
It might be a you thing.
It might be a me thing. Folks at home, just look. He's wearing like the pilot hat. They both got goofy hats on. They're dressed up nice. Like, I don't know. The only thing in focus is Leo's shoe, which, I don't know, seems a little strange. I also wanted to talk about the tagline, the true story of a real fake. You got too many words. Too many cooks in the kitchen. You can't have true, real, and fake. And I get that that's the point. But true story of a fake, that's fine.
Yeah.
A real fake.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I kind of like the
I think it's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Okay. I mean, you know, I disagree, but that's fine.
That's fine. You can disagree. And we're both correct because we're professionals.
We're on the podcast, and you, the audience, you're just listening. You're just sitting back in your office chair at your stupid job, You're killing time. Yeah, you're in your car. We're here. We're doing the real work. We're in the studio. You know.
We watched the film. We're reading literature.
It, so you don't have to.
Somebody and let me tell you, you don't have to.
I mean, no, sure, you don't have to watch anything.
You don't have to. Certainly. There are some movies that you have to watch, and we'll get into those eventually. This one, you don't have to. You can. You'd have a fine time. You get to see baby 27-year-old Leo.
He looks so remarkably young.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I get why he was like a youthful,
a dreamboat
star.
A teen dreamboat. Yeah. I mean, if you look back at I don't know, what did he do before this? Titanic, the Basketball Diaries.
That was after this, right?
Yeah, this was like 2006.
Wow.
I believe.
I see.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, they really made him look 16-ish, except he's too tall. Although he doesn't look like a tall guy. He doesn't look like he's 6 feet tall, but he is. I don't get it. He doesn't look like he's tall.
That's Hollywood accounting for you.
I guess. But
I'm going to fact check this.
I think he is 6 feet tall. This is true.
Correct. That is correct. I had to do a quick conversion from metric, but checks out. Okay, 3.5-star film. Where did it lose points for you?
Okay, so to start out, the movie, it opens with the ending, kind of, which I think for me it feels a little bit belaboring the point. Like, obviously, in a movie like this, he's not going to get away with everything. Like, that's basic story structure. And so seeing that he gets caught at the end and then is like, you know, sent back to the States from France, it's like, I know the idea is like, oh, well, how did he get here? How did he get caught? But it's like, you know, I knew that was going to happen, right? Like, yeah. I don't think that's, it's like, you know, now I just have to wait for the part of the movie where that happens. And then I'm like, okay. Because, you know, as far as this is the appeal of this movie is in all the whimsy. And there's a lot of little whimsical musical scores whenever he does a little funny goof of committing fraud. I mean, imagine like the Enron documentary scored like this movie. It would be very funny. You know, if somebody's bored and has some time to kill, like open up iMovie on your MacBook Air and do that little edit job for me. And, you know,
yeah,
it's a little we'll Photoshop do that challenge. Review. We'll do that review on the show.
I would watch it.
Do that. I would watch the Catch Me If You Can cut of the Enron documentary. Who was it? Because I don't want to say it was Danny Elfman. That'd be a little silly, but John Williams. There you go.
A big Stephen S. head, John Williams.
It could have been Mr. Daniel if they wanted it to.
I mean,
there's nothing because it had some of that like whimsical, you know, like.
Yeah, there's no
boy on Christmas morning running through the street kind of goofy ass music. It had some of that, but like he's just like, I'm making fake checks and I'm a pilot, but not really. Which goes to show how easy it is to be a pilot.
Yeah. You know? I wish they showed him flying the plane.
He's just like, oh, I'm on the plane, but I'm a pilot. And he's just like, and that makes me a worthy romantic partner.
Yeah.
I'm a guy who sits on the plane, but I sit in a funny suit. So that's cool.
And
but,
I mean, the jump seat, if you know what that means. All right, folks.
Oh, I know about the jump seat, brother. I've
learned about the jump seat.
Oh, I think we've all learned about the jump seat. I don't know. So where was I even starting with all this?
It's a series of events that happen in an order. And that's,
there's no character work, I guess, was the point I was getting to, is that, you know, the appeal of the movie, right, now I remember my train of thought. The appeal of the movie is, now Catch Me If You Can, but he's a train conductor.
Now
they don't make movies like that anymore. They didn't even make that movie at all, I don't think.
And look, if Leo was a fake train conductor and there was a bank robbery, already 4-star film.
That I agree completely, though, because the aesthetic of that, and you have to set it back even further in time, which probably works in its favor.
Yeah,
because then like every one of his little stupid schemes is even more believable.
And he's got that train conductor hat, the big puffy one with the blue and white vertical.
He has a little pipe and he wears his overalls.
Yeah,
now that's a good put disguise.
Leo in that outfit. You got a 4-star film.
That's a solid 4-star film. But there's no character work. It's just he does a funny thing and then he goes somewhere else and then he does another funny thing and he goes somewhere else. And occasionally Tom Hanks shows up and is like, hey, you're doing a funny thing. And he's like, you're not going to catch me. And then he runs away. And that's basically after the opening, like 30 minutes establishing, you know, his gist. The
context of his parents' divorce. I wonder if
all-time worst reaction to your parents getting divorced.
Rates were affected by this film.
They could parents have been,
seeing this movie with their children, they're like, "We got to stay together for the kids. We can't have $2.3 million in fraudulent checks."
You know,
these parents were a little too enabling for young Frank.
Yeah, young. He really, his dad was a bad influence.
So his mom's like, I'll just pay off his debts. Don't worry. Yeah.
And then like the mom cheated on the dad.
No,
did they,
I mean, whatever.
Did they establish why or did it just happen? You know?
I mean, you I didn't, I don't know if I really in that film. He's flirting with every woman hither and yon with his damn necklace trick.
I didn't think that was a flirt thing. I thought that was like a bribing women.
He's bribing women to get what he wants.
I thought he was stealing their necklaces and then pulling one out and be like, "You dropped this."
No,
I thought that's what it was.
He just buys like he buys bulk from Wish or Alibaba.com or something.
Goes to Costco and gets.
He's got a bulk pack of necklaces, and he just takes one in his little secret pocket inside his jacket. Yeah. And he's just like, anytime there's a woman who's not doing what I want, I'll make her capitulate to my needs. Just give her this $8 necklace. She's going to lose her GD mind. And look, props to him, it works. Doesn't work when Leo does it.
No, he does not. He does not have the riz to do the,
yeah,
the little trick.
And it does take riz, which is why it's flirting.
Sure. Okay. I mean, oh, you sold me. I guess he is flirting. I took it as like a very like.
I don't think it's supposed to come off flirty, but it is. And he's smiling and winking, you know, talking about her neck. This is the 60s. Talking about a woman's neck in public, you got to be married.
Oh, you have to be married.
The marriage ceremony in 1962 was like, what do you think about her neck? And the guy goes, pretty good. And then I'm like,
you're like, all right.
Yeah. I don't know. And also, he was extremely poor. His business is not succeeding. It's going under. And he's just lying. He's gaslighting his family. He's like, don't worry about it. Though the tax people, they'll forget. They're just going to forget that I owe them all that money. Oh, and it's like, yeah, of course. Of course everyone hates you. You're disingenuous. And you're flirting with strangers.
All right, you've sold me. I now see, look, it's just, that's a lot of subtext in the film. It's just like, oh, they're divorced now. And you're like, oh, okay, whatever.
See, I read into things.
That's why you're the professional. And I'm.
That's why I got the podcast. Folks,
we have the podcast.
That's true.
You're like, unfortunately, this is a two person operation.
Unfortunately, I can't riff that much by myself.
You just need a sounding board to go.
I don't know about that, and then that's enough. It's a standard film. I wish that it was on a train. I wish Ian McShane was a bank robber in this, or a train robber, I should say. Ian McShane is a train robber in like a 1940s train robbery. Yeah. But Leo's the conductor, and he's a fake conductor. He's scamming them for the sweet, sweet, I don't know, train company. Can-Am.
Pan-Am, but for trains.
Yeah. Tan-Am. If that was this film, at least four, probably four and a half. I guess if this movie combined with Bullet Train, I guess.
Did you like Bullet Train? I know it's contentious. I guess we'll
find out someday.
It's contentious amongst people to say that you like the movie because it's like people are like, oh, it's a very coworker movie. But honestly, Bullet Train's a lot of fun. And those people,
I think Bullet Train is a lot of fun.
A bunch of squares.
I don't know that it was a good movie.
It's not like a great movie, but it's a fun movie.
I mean, I look at it the same way I look at like a Transformers or something where it's like, I'm having a time the whole time it's playing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for what it is, it's a solid, you know, for what it is, 4-star movie. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I think succeeds more than this movie does at its own thing.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a reason nobody talks about Catch Me If You Can, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. there's no memorable lines of dialogue. There's no quotes from this movie that you're like,
they really try and make the mouse thing like a,
yeah,
you know, he's like, oh, are you the mouse that drowns in the cream, or are you the mouse that turns it into butter? And I'm like, dude, I'm not a mouse, man.
I'm a man, not a mouse. Yeah, it's I don't know. I didn't find any of the dialogue charming or witty enough to commit to memory that I would with other media.
Yeah, other programs.
Yeah, like if you were to watch Dumb and Dumber, you're like, I know this whole movie and I've seen it once 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
But this, you're just like, yeah. He did the thing that you know that he's about to do. It's cool.
There is a lot of that. Of,
I do I'm like when do he, it. I do like when he tricks Tom Hanks.
Yeah. I really did not like Tom Hanks in this movie. I'm not going to say it's like an all-time bad Tom Hanks performance. It's just, didn't like him. Didn't think he was any good.
Yeah. I don't know. He's fine. It's all fine. I think everything's fine. I do like when there's, I don't know, a character that's smarter than me, which is fairly easy to write. It's not even like they're smarter than me. They're just saying a thing due to editing quicker than I can think of it while watching. When they Tom Hanks is like, he mentioned the Yankees, and I'm like, oh shit, he did mention the Yankees, dude. You're right. He did do that. That's actually, you thought about something. I don't think
you're saying you don't think.
I think sometimes. I have been known to think. I ponder, I'll say. Is that okay, Aristotle?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a pontificating kind of guy, but you know, you can.
Okay, sorry, Plato.
How about? I don't know. I didn't know where I was going to go with that at all. Actually,
can't name a third philosopher.
Was he math or was he philosophy?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Aristotle? No, he was.
That was the first guy. That was the first guy. He trained Plato. Anyway, did you know? I don't know what the fact I was going to say is. This movie. I agree with you. It has no character work. I don't really know anything about it. It's like entirely plot driven, which I think we both hate.
Yeah, no, we hate a plot movie.
Yeah, plot famously sucks. Which is why spoilers don't exist, folks.
Yeah, if your movie can be ruined by spoilers, it's probably pretty weak, you know?
Yeah. Films are not just a sequence of events where things happen on screen. It's actually art piece that exists on its own merits. So think about that next time you're like, oh no, Stuart Little dies at the end? Who cares?
that's where you're...
Yeah, that was the first spoiler I could think of off the top of my head.
Stuart Little.
Oh, no.
Wait, does he die?
Yeah, but it's about the story of friendship and brotherhood. It's not about whether the mouse freaking dies. Folks, watch Stuart Little. It's written by M. Night Shyamalan, and it's better than you remember.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
You're full of shit. You're catch me if you can.
Look it up right now. Look it up.
And he dies. Wait, there's a Stuart Little 2.
Yeah, I'm talking about Stuart Little 1.
You can't die in Stuart Little 1.
They retcon.
There's a Stuart Little 2. They don't retcon. He doesn't die.
The cat eats him. The cat goes, "Oh, my stomach hurts," and then Stuart Little goes, "You want me to massage it?" And then the cat goes, "How about you massage my stomach from the inside?" And you're like, "Whoa, it's a little fruity." And then
he did do the screenplay. Okay, so you weren't lying about that.
Folks.
Yeah, but he doesn't die. He gets, at the end, Snowball, who I assume is the cat, takes Stuart home, and everyone is happily reunited, quoting Wikipedia. So I don't think he dies. I think he, like, didn't watch the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Did I fall asleep? You just were like, oh, Stuart Little's
dead, maybe. So the movie has to be over. It's weird that it just kept going.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you don't need to know the end of movies. It's like when you're playing Mario Kart and you just like stop right before the finish line on the last lap, and you're like, I don't need your approval. Little 64 bits of memory. I don't need you to congratulate me. I know what I did. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't need M. Night Shyamalan's approval to know what the fucking story of Stuart Little is. I know the real story. The story that they don't tell you in Holly Weird.
Who voices Stuart Little?
Michael J. Fox. And you know what the J stands for? Andrew.
Really? No, wait, no, we've talked about this. We've talked about this somewhere.
Yeah, put Stuart Little in Catch Me If You Can.
What would that look like? About being a mouse. or put Leo in Stuart Little, and it's just he's Stuart Little, but not a mouse. But he's pretending to be.
It's Leo.
Astro's doing some weird shit right now. He's really upset.
It's the lunar eclipse.
Are you doing anything for that? Is it even going to hit your
It's absolutely hitting exactly where I live.
Oh really?
Doxed. Yeah, I went to Sonic and I got glasses.
I also got the glasses from Sonic. Yeah, they're great.
You mean they're great? They don't do anything.
They'll shield your eyes from
the
sun, right? They do work, right?
Yeah, I did do some research, but I was like, Sonic can't give these out.
They would be sued out the ass if they didn't work. Yeah.
If any one person went blind, Sonic would be out of business. as they should not be. Because they're great, Sonic.
Did you like the slushy?
No.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, shout out Sonic.
Losing his mind. He's auditioning for Stuart Little 4.
He's going to be Snowball 2.
He's going to be Oreo instead of Snowball.
Shout out
Astro, Snowball, do you have anything to say for the folks at home?
Astro, who plays Snowball in Stuart Little?
Why would he know? Me being racist. You think all cats know each other?
No, I think all cats are very smart, actually. And it's Nathan Lane, who also, I think, is in The Lion King, which is also about cats. So,
That is... Okay, you sold
so
me.
So true. So true, dude. I also forgot Hugh Laurie is the dad.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. He's Jonathan.
Oh, wait. Yeah, he is. Father. Lipnicki in that?
Yeah.
He's the kid.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of him recently, and he kind of looks the same.
Yeah, he's an adult now, though.
Yeah, he still looks... He's still doing stuff. They should have had young Lipnicki. Stuart Little too. I mean, he was in that, so he could have maybe made time that year and done both of these films. Lipnicki, I think, would have been maybe a good casting Leo choice. I think he would have been a more compelling 16-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, looks more like a 16-year-old if you take Franklin Muniz into account.
Yeah.
I think if you were to remake Catch Me If You Can 2024, Lipnicki's not a bad call. Current Lipnicki.
Current Litnicki. I was going to go with Tiny Tim Chalamet personally, but
I mean, of course. I mean, Hollywood.
That's kind of the easy. That's sort of the easy.
Hollywood's got a. I don't want to say it, but a love boner for Tim Chalamet.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't get it. I don't really get it, to be honest. It's not for me to get.
I mean, that's up to you, you know, to not get it if you don't. I mean, I don't have an opinion about Tiny Tim, but I'm saying the realistic version of this.
Yeah, realistically. But if realistically, I'm casting Tiny Tim, he's not in this freaking film.
I think they, and then I think as a tip of the hat to the original, I think Leo is Tom Hanks.
Yeah, of course.
Leo. I think old Leo would be a great Thomas Hanks.
Yeah.
And he'd be better at voices, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Leo is known for voices, actually.
I mean, you see a, you know, a proto Rick Dalton voice in here. He does some other fun little sounds that we all really enjoy.
Yeah, I feel like he's not what I said when I said he's known for voices. Not really true. I don't know that anyone's like, I love his ability to do accents.
I love his ability to do accents.
I know you do. I think a movie like this with Leo in his current state, where he is portraying a bunch of different characters, or a Leo movie where he, what's that movie? Austin Powers. An Austin Powers or like a Madea film or. Yeah. What's the Eddie Murphy one? Pluto and Ash or something?
Norbit? No.
I don't know. Whatever. One of those movies where Leo plays like seven characters that are all vastly different.
What's that like M. Night movie? Split?
Yeah.
Leo, a Leo split would be pretty good, in my opinion.
Shout out Leo.
Shout out Lee. One of the all-time greats. We're a huge fan of his work. We can't wait to see, you know, what he's going to do next.
I mean, the last two Leo movies we've discussed, we've given like three and a half. So I don't know if we're huge fans of his work.
Wait, what other Leo movie did we watch besides Wolf of Wall Street?
It was this one in Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, okay. But he said the last two, it was...
Yeah, I mean, this is the last two Leo movies I've seen.
That's true.
So true.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
My Letterboxd review for this... Now, I watch these movies well in advance.
You do.
Because I have the time. I have the time, and that's fine. So I don't know what I meant by this anymore.
But like, not only is it fine, it's my preference.
Yeah. I did review this saying if Goodfellas was a kid's movie. Now, do I know exactly what that means?
I don't know what that means. Having just watched the movie, I don't agree.
I think it was because it's someone doing crimes being based by the FBI or whatever.
I almost think, here's what I almost think. It feels similar to like if The Prestige, a film we've talked about on this podcast before, if that was a mm-hmm. kid's movie.
Yeah.
Sort of. But there's you no twists.
Yeah.
There's no twists and turns, but it does feel like the kid's version of that. So
this feels like a teen version of like a road trip film.
Yeah.
Like RV sure. with Robin Williams is for like 9-year-olds. This is that, but for like 17-year-olds.
Yeah, I imagine like if you're a youth seeing this, you'd be like, damn, this is cool.
He's so smart, tight. Dude. Look at that. Look at his wallet, dude. It's just got Coke labels in it.
He
planned ahead. He knew what he was doing. Yeah, I don't know if I...
he's one of the greats.
Yeah, sure. I don't know if I think that anybody in this movie is particularly smart anymore.
Oh, like what they did?
Yeah, or like the all actors.
No, you think everybody involved with this movie is stupid for...
Yeah, anyone involved in production has a low IQ. the characters... I don't know. I feel like if I was Tom Hanks, I would have caught him way earlier. And if I was Leo, I would have got away with it. That's my hot take for the day.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that they tried, really. And also, weird ending, right?
They're good with him just doing stuff, and then
yeah, like when he's gonna run away and he's like, I'm gonna go be a pilot again, I don't want to do this FBI stuff, I don't gotta work on the weekends. This movie was like made by a landlord. He's like, you gotta be working on the weekends, and if you're not, fly to a country that lets you. And then Tom Hanks is like, all right, leave. You're an international criminal for like 7 years. You've racked up millions of dollars in fraud. You've like used up the FBI budget an insane amount. But like, I'm going to trust you. The guy who's the fraud. The famous, most famous of all time.
He's so good at doing fraud things.
Yeah.
So
that's why he's like, I'm going to trust that you're not actually going to leave while you're leaving, while I see you leaving. And you're the fraud guy who does fraud. Why don't you just go ahead and leave, and we'll see where that lands us. And then it just cuts to like a slideshow of like, and then he didn't leave. I don't know. Felt a little ramshackle.
Yeah, the movie just sort of ends. Because when they show you the beginning of the movie where he gets captured, I feel like, you know, I was expecting more of a buildup, but it just sort of runs out of steam, and then it ends, and then the movie kind of keeps going for a little bit, and then it actually ends, which is a problem we talk about a lot on this show, where it's just
endings are
hard. End your movie 20 minutes earlier, you know?
Yeah, endings are hard. I get it. Famously, this podcast doesn't know when to end, but
maybe this week we do.
Goodbye, everybody.
Maybe it's in a minute and 20 seconds.
Could be. I don't know. Any other observations about perhaps Christopher Walken?
No. I don't. He looked less bad than normal, which is a given because it's a 22-year-old movie, but.
Yeah. I don't know. He did fraud, and he taught Leo how to do fraud. But the thing is, he wasn't good at it.
He was a lot better at flirting, but he wasn't good at...
He's like, this bank, they don't know anything. They're idiots. And the bank's like, no.
Oh, no, actually. We're much smarter. No, actually,
we're not going to do the thing that you want. And then he's like, these tax people, they don't know anything. They're idiots. They don't know anything. And then he like gets his business taken away. You know, like, I thought this guy's supposed to be good at this.
No.
I don't know.
Never.
Fun time. Put it on.
It's a fun flick. It's good in the background, you know?
put it on if you feel like it. My weekly recommendation, I should start doing a weekly recommendation of a better movie. Until we watch a movie that's the best
movie. We actually like.
Yeah. My recommendation this week, if you have listened to this podcast, you're like, I wasn't sold on Catch Me If You Can, which totally valid. Good place to be. Watch Accepted 2006. Justin Long, Jonah Hill, others, Blake Lively. Interesting cast. It's a fun time. I get a little choked up at the end. No spoilers on that one. I was like, wow, they don't make movies like this anymore. Great, great flick. Better than Catch Me If You Can. I can assure you of that. Now, is it the most prototypical mid-2000s comedy that hits every single trope in every mid-2000s comedy? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure is.
Absolutely, they do all of it. There's a fun little like rock and roll interstitial. There's a lot of skateboarding transition scenes.
There's there's a whole gag where the school is, the initials of it are shit.
Yeah. That's a big gag in the film.
They really like that.
Yeah, they do love that.
For some reason.
And you know what? I get it.
You're like, it's funny.
There are zero iconic lines in Catch Me If You Can. There are at least seven iconic moments in Accepted that have stood the test of time.
Is that true?
Absolutely. Jonah Hill yelling, "Ask me about my wiener." Better than anything in this stupid fucking movie. The screen. Okay, they go into this abandoned psychiatric hospital, and a skeleton falls out of the ceiling, and Jonah Hill screams for like 25 uninterrupted seconds. Great.
He does.
Great moment. Honestly, look, I've just convinced myself, watch the trailer for Accepted and you're good, but at least watch that. That's the episode, everybody. Email us at badboycinemafanmail@gmail.com. Let us know what to review next. Let us know if you disagree with us. Let us know if you're a huge Steven S. head and you think that we maligned your good friend Steven.
Maybe you should be put on a list.
Maybe you should. There's some rumblings. I've heard some rumblings about Steven S. That's all I'm going to say. Put your ear to the ground. Listen to the rumblings, folks. That's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.